Bizarre Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies releasing this week.
And whatever movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And I'm Travis. And here are the movies premiering this week.
Yes! But before we do that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
How's your week been going, man?
Oh, pretty good. Besides making me laugh. I mean, hey, it worked. That was good.
Thank you. All right,
you're welcome.
I got myself too good there, too.
Well, good. Okay, so my week.
Yes.
It was good. I worked.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I do, honestly. And then
I feel that, yeah.
I didn't watch any movies this week.
You pulled a me.
I did, which I feel... I feel naked, not having anything.
Wow.
But I did watch WrestleMania, if that counts for anything.
I mean, did you watch it in a theater?
No, I should have, though. I could have.
You could have.
I could have.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity. Oh, well, that's all right. But, yeah, I watched that. That was very good. It was great to watch Cody finish the story. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. I'm sorry if you haven't watched it yet. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, it's just been good. How about you?
It's been busy.
That's good.
Sorry, I still got stuff in my nose. we are basically finished with our bathroom remodel stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a roof remodel coming now, and then next week is our siding.
Okay.
So it's going to be just kind of... all over the place because we had that hailstorm or whatever, and so we got the roof and new siding for our garage. And
mm-hmm. Well, that storm was last year too.
It was, yeah. It was, but they didn't want to put the new roof on when it was winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you need it to be a little bit warmer so that the tar will melt and all that good
stuff.
Yeah,
so everything adheres. Excuse me, everything adheres the way that it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they wanted to wait until it got up into a certain temperature range, and then they call me up. And they're like, hey. We're getting you on the schedule when you want it. Next week? Sure. Okay. Bye.
Right.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah, we had everything delivered today, and tomorrow it's going to be done, and then we'll have a new roof.
They will get that done. They will get it done lickety-split, though.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah.
You know, they might have some bystanders, you know, calling them names, though.
That's very true.
Well, not one...
Well, that yeah, because it's not PG.
Well, there's that, but
yeah,
he won't be standing by them calling them names either.
No.
So, Joe Flattery.
Mm-hmm.
I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Okay.
But the heckler in Happy Gilmore was on SCTV.
Mm-hmm.
Has passed away.
Okay, that's too bad. I will always remember him from, My first introduction to him was from the movie, it was from 1985, a little movie called Follow That Bird, which is from Sesame Street, about Big Bird going on a road trip across country to figure out, I think to find his mom. It's either his mom or dad, I can't remember exactly. But, or at least to find family, it's something like that. Anyways, but it was very good. At least it was when I was a kid. I haven't watched it recently.
Very nice, very nice.
And I looked at the cast for that one today. It had a stat cast for the time. I mean, it had John Candy. It had Dave Thomas, which not the Dave Thomas from Wendy's.
Chevy Chase.
Yep, and Chevy Chase and
Lorraine Newman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely a cast, and I mean, obviously for me, he'll always be the heckler from Happy Gilmore.
Right.
You know, that's what I knew him from. Other people might have known him from, you know, like Freaks and Geeks, the TV show, and
all right.
I mean, he was in a couple of different things here, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He was the dad in Freaks and Geeks, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. And he was the Western Union man in Back to the Future Part 2 at the very end.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Are you Marty McFly?
Yep.
So, but yeah, he has passed away.
Okay.
I don't know necessarily from, you know, what was the main cause, but he was 82 okay. as well. But it was announced late last Monday.
Okay.
So we had just missed it when we were recording.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, unfortunately, we do have that news, but...
well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have some happier news, though.
Okay.
About a certain horror movie.
Ooh.
Which is one that I have watched that is returning to theaters.
Ooh, are you going to go back and go see it?
Maybe.
Ooh, that's interesting. I like the sound of that.
Maybe. But basically, you know, you got to be careful because in the theater, nobody might be able to hear you scream.
I was just about to say, like, if you're going to watch it again, go watch it in space, because nobody can hear you scream.
There you go. That was better. I like that one.
Okay.
So we do have the original Alien coming back to theaters.
Okay.
And that will be returning on April 26th.
Okay.
So just later this month, honestly. If you haven't watched the original one, or you never watched it in the theater,
mm-hmm.
now might be the time.
Nice.
So, but yeah, that was, you know, pretty good financial success, and
mm-hmm.
You know, enough to get a lot of, well, I guess technically spinoffs, but sequels is the word I was looking for, and then spinoffs.
Sure, right.
But there are some movies that don't do too well at the box office, apparently.
Oh, I wonder what that was.
So, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, okay. apparently on paper has, was a loss of $130 million.
Jeez.
So that is going to include, you know, production, that's going to include marketing, that's mm-hmm. going to include, you know, if they paid them, you know, the Disney company paid the Disney company from production to distribution, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I would say take that with a grain of salt,
mm-hmm.
that it was a $130 million loss, but at the same time, it did not do too well at the box office, if I remember correctly. It didn't do, like, amazing.
Yeah, it didn't do that great, but I remember people seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, it is an Indiana Jones film, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was okay. It wasn't the best. It was... I would say that it's probably just as good as when I watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Gotcha,
I would say,
gotcha.
At least.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's been... what, 6 months since I watched it last, so,
right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it says that it grossed $384 million.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently post-production was like almost $80 million alone.
Jeez.
But that's for like digitally de-aging Harrison Ford.
Oh, sure.
That's a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not do too well. And so, on paper at least, it has lost Disney $130 million.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Harrison Ford is just crying in his bed right now.
Mm-hmm. His bed of money.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
I don't have to do any more Indiana Jones.
Right.
Dang. But, I mean, even with that, I think Bob Iger might be pretty happy right now.
Really? Okay. I wonder why that is.
It's almost like you have show notes in front of you. but, no, we never really talked about it too much because I didn't hear too much, or I didn't read too much into it.
Right.
But... basically, there was a financial investor that was trying to get a spot on the board of Disney.
Okay.
To basically kind of maneuver his way to be able to run Disney, to take over Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's tried to happen in the past where, like, especially in the, I think, early 90s when Disney was low.
Okay.
Basically, what would have happened then, the person that was trying to do it back then, was known for basically buying companies and then parting them out and then selling everything to make a profit for himself.
Okay.
So if that had happened to Disney, just think of what would have happened.
Right.
So another kind of opportunist basically was trying to finagle his way into the Disney board.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a proxy vote, and basically like it was a whole thing. And all the shareholders had votes to vote for if they wanted this person in there, or like, you know, if they wanted, basically it was a race to, you know, for seats on the board kind of thing.
Okay.
And this guy and all of the people that he supported failed miserably. And the current Disney board, including Bob Iger, won handily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so basically I was reading on here that Iger won re-election with 94% of the votes cast in his favor.
Wow.
And then investor Nelson Peltz, for the seat that he was going for, got 31%. And then one of his cronies got even less for the seat that he was running for.
Okay.
So, it was apparently quite a thing. And honestly, I'm glad that it failed. Because, right. You know, something like that never ends well.
No, it never does.
You know, all it does is it makes whoever, if the person that is trying to do that
mm-hmm.
wins, makes them richer because they basically just destroy everything and make their money and run.
Right. Oh, exactly.
So, yeah, it was just kind of interesting to see. But, yeah, Bob Iger should be pretty happy now.
As he's swimming in his Scrooge McDuck pile of money.
Right. Yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah.
There's that, too. You know, but at least it's not spice.
That's true. That's very true.
So, speaking of spice,
mm-hmm.
Dune Part 2
mm-hmm.
apparently is extending its IMAX run.
Ooh, okay.
So, if you haven't seen it in IMAX, mm-hmm. now might be the time to go and watch it.
Okay.
Because it'll still be there in IMAX for a little bit longer here.
Nice.
So yeah, that's that is a thing. Another thing that is a thing,
mm-hmm.
Dune-wise at least, is apparently Dune 3 is in development.
Ooh, okay.
So I know we talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
where Denis was like, I don't want to do another one unless I have a very good story, unless I know, you know, exactly where it's going to be going, that right. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although he has wanted to adapt the second book for a while, I guess.
Right.
I think we were talking about that before, too, where he really wants to adapt the Dune Messiah.
Right, and then we were also talking last week, too, about Timothy Chalamet and how he now has, mm-hmm. like, stake in Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, maybe that had something to do with it, too.
That could be, yeah.
But yeah, Dune 3 is in development right now,
mm-hmm.
Which honestly doesn't mean too much as well, so just kind of take that again with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
But it is in development.
Well, maybe instead of a grain of salt, it should be a grain of sand.
Ah. Very nice. Very nice. That made me cringe just about as much as this next story.
Good. Good, because it makes me cringe too.
So, sticking with Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there is a new Matrix in the works.
Just let it die.
Yeah. I mean, Matrix was very much a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Resurrections, you could tell that I don't think really anybody wanted to be there.
Right.
It was Warner Brothers saying, hey, make this or we'll find somebody else to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they did again.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Lily Wachowski had been out of it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lana Wachowski had done the last movie.
Right.
But now they're just like, whatever, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it over with. You know, let it fail. Let it die. Although Lana Wachowski will act as an executive producer on this one.
I mean, the Resurrections wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that what the last one was called? I feel like that was 3, like, no, because it was Revolution, never mind, mm-hmm. that was 3, because mm-hmm. then 4, yeah, okay.
Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, Matrix Resurrections.
Okay.
Now it's going to be the R word for this one. Matrix Resuscitation. I don't know.
Clear.
So, apparently Drew Goddard is going to be writing and directing this one.
Okay.
And so he did well, he did stuff like The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
He did The Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
And he did World War Z.
Okay.
So, I mean, not too bad. And they're saying that Drew came to Warner Brothers with a new idea that they all believed would be an incredible way to continue the Matrix world, both by honoring what Lana and Lily began over 25 years ago and offering a unique perspective based on his own love of the series and characters.
The only way that this can work is if they don't have Neo in it.
Mm-hmm. Or Trinity.
Or Trinity.
Or any of the Nebuchadnezzar.
Exactly.
Like, it has to be Animatrix style.
Yep. Or just, like, a whole new set of characters, just, or something like that.
Mm.
It cannot be any of the returning cast.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I liked The Martian was great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that was based off of a book.
Right.
World War Z, based off of a book.
Right.
The Cabin in the Woods.
I know you didn't see it, but that was fantastic, too.
Because, I mean, that was more a commentary on horror movie tropes, right?
It was. Yeah. It was more so, like, it was more so a comedy within a horror movie. Within fourth wall breaking, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, basically, I guess I should say he did the screenplay for The Martian and World War Z. He directed Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
And he also directed Bad Times at the El Royale.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then he directed 4 episodes of The Good Place.
Okay.
So now he's going to be writing and directing. And he created the Daredevil TV series.
That was good.
Like, so he wrote for that.
Okay. As in the one that was on Netflix?
Yes.
And then now Disney Plus? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So, I mean, there is that, but at the same time, it's still kind of just like, eh.
Well, hopefully, if this one doesn't work, that they'll take the red pill. Or was it the blue pill? I don't remember anymore. Or maybe a silver one. If you guys can't tell right now, John is cringing over in his chair
because
of my segue.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of going back with the Marvel stuff with Daredevil. See that there?
I gotcha.
The Fantastic Four movie that's coming out that has like Vanessa Kirby, Pedro Pascal, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we have our Silver Surfer. For the movie.
Okay.
And that's going to be Julia Garner.
Ooh, okay.
So it's not going to be Silver Surfer like Paul Bettany in the, you know, Fantastic Four and Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, that was him, wasn't it?
It was.
I forgot about that.
It was. Basically, it's going to be as a Shala Ball version of Silver Surfer, which I think is something in the comics. My apologies if I'm Shala completely Ball. Wrong.
Okay. All right. I guess I don't know what I don't know what that means, but I guess if you guys know, let us know.
Right. So we'll see how it all goes. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we have our Silver Surfer for the Marvel Fantastic Four movie.
Cool.
I guess you could say it was fortunate, and good that they they found their Silver Surfer.
Yeah, it was very fortunate, and they had good fortune.
Yeah. Oh. Sandra. Oh.
No. Oh.
So, Sandra Oh, sorry. Very bad segue. Is going to be cast, or has been cast, in Good Fortune, which is a movie coming in from Aziz Ansari.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a movie coming in from Aziz Ansari a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember hearing about Being Mortal. I think we talked about it.
Sounds familiar.
But it had Bill Murray on the cast.
Okay.
And it was shut down amid complaints of inappropriate behavior on the part of cast member Bill Murray in 2022.
Okay.
And so that was going to be like his first, like, that was going to be like his, I think, really directorial debut.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then that happened, and so kind of got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did stuff for his Netflix comedy specials, and he did Master of None,
which is a great show.
And so now he's going to be making this movie called Good Fortune.
Okay.
Which also stars, you know, it has Sandra Oh was just cast.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Aziz Ansari.
Okay.
Also stars Seth Rogen.
Ooh.
Keanu Reeves.
Jeez.
And Kiki Palmer.
That's a great cast.
Right. So they're kind of keeping everything under wraps.
Okay.
But that's the cast that we know of right now.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They should all probably get together for a play date before filming.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah. 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 I thought it was a good fortune idea. So, play date,
uh-huh.
Which is that movie that we talked about, was it last week or the week before, with Kevin James and Alan Ritchson?
Mm-hmm.
Might have been 3 weeks ago, honestly.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago, because we're like, really, Kevin James and Alan Ritchson?
Yeah.
Okay. We have more cast. We have Sarah Chalk from Scrubs is what I usually mainly know her from.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Tudyk, you know, Steve the Pirate.
Yep.
And then there's Duke Weaselton and the Duke of Wesselton.
Yep.
King Candy. There was Hey Hey. He went to Juilliard. I'm sorry. I'm just... Wash, obviously. Wash.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Alan Tudyk, Stephen Root, also in Dodgeball.
Yep.
And also, I asked for No Thought. No Thought.
Milton from Office Space.
Yes. And then Isla Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Have joined in the cast.
Okay.
Is it Isla?
It's Isla.
Isla. I'm bad at names. I'm sorry.
It was close.
Yeah, not really, but thank you.
Sacha Baron Cohen will come after you for that one.
Right. No, if I remember correctly, Isla Fisher was Mary Jane in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Sure was.
Isla. Why can I not remember Isla? Isla? Isla?
Isla.
But yeah, Isla Fisher, Alan Tudyk, Stephen Root, and Sarah Chalk have all joined in Playdate with Kevin James and Alan Ritchson.
It's a great cast.
It is. We'll have to see how it all goes. But other than that, I don't know. That cast, depending on how everything goes, might create a monster.
You are just on it today.
I'm trying, man.
You really are. You are hitting them out of the park.
I guess Batman created enough monsters in his day, he might as well become one.
There you go.
Christian Bale as the monster in... Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride.
Mm-hmm.
We have pictures.
Pictures?
Pictures. Pictures and pictures. Is it just me, or is everybody going Leto-ified? Jaredified? Leto-fied? Leto-fied?
He kind of does look a little Leto-fied.
Like, is that a tattoo that I see that says hope? Or does it say dope?
I think it
or
might
slope?
Say...
Doesn't say nope.
It does say hope.
It does? Okay. Ope.
Hope.
I was going to say, what is he, a Minnesotan monster? Ope.
Hope. Hope that Christian Bale.
Ope, just going to ask you to put that fire away right now.
Ooh, it's hot. Ooh, that's hot.
Ope, that little girl just went right in the water. Ope. She went right in the water there, you know. that girl there, she went right in the water, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scary.
It's like, oh, did I scare you? I'm sorry.
First look, Christian Bale is a punk Frankenstein. Yeah, that's pretty true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the look, but I don't like the tattoos.
Right. It feels wrong.
It does. But I guess we'll have to see a trailer to really know for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of trailers,
mm-hmm.
That was the last of our movie news that we had for this week.
Ooh.
Right? Did you have anything else you want to say about any of our movie news, Travis?
I've got nothing.
You got nothing? All right, well, then let's go ahead and move into our movie trailers.
Yeah.
Half of these are going to be you. the first one that we have is the trailer for Maxine, or Ma Triple X Een, as I like to say.
Right.
You got this?
So this is the third movie in the Ty West X Pearl franchise, and it takes place in the 80s. Like it said 85, right? I believe,
yes.
In the trailer.
Yep.
And it's her trying to get her trying to act her way through Hollywood, basically, and trying to be the best actress that she can be.
Trying to make the jump from adult actress
to
mainstream Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. And she'll do it by any means necessary. Not like that.
Very nice.
And I really need to see Pearl, because I've only seen X.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I really look forward to seeing this. I think it looks good. It's got a really stacked cast, too.
Right. There's a lot of people that showed up that I was not expecting.
Like, I know Hozier, Kevin Bacon, Giancarlo Esposito.
Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah, Michelle Monaghan.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Okay. That name sounds familiar, but not really.
Aisha in Guardians 2.
Okay.
Kat in Tenet.
Okay.
Aisha in Guardians 3 as well.
Okay.
That's
nice. Okay.
Halsey.
Halsey. That, okay, not Hozier. Halsey. All right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It took me actually looking at the IMDb to realize. So... Yeah, good luck with this one, Travis. I mean, I don't really see... It didn't really, like, look like a horror either.
Mm-hmm.
They made it seem like a kind of like an 80s thriller, more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it is listed as a horror.
Okay.
So, there is that.
Well, I'm sure she'll do some sick, twisted things to try to get into the business, so...
Yeah, well, there's that, and, you know, the stalker kind of stalking everybody, too.
That, too, yeah.
So, but that brings us to our next trailer, which seemed pretty cuckoo.
It did. Hey, what a coincidence.
Yeah, that's the name of the trailer.
It is. Cuckoo.
This one is all you as well, Travis.
So, I have no idea what's going on in this one. It seems like this girl is... How do I even describe it? It's like...
So... The synopsis says, a 17-year-old girl is forced to move with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem.
Okay.
So, from what I could gather, just from watching the trailer once, is that, you know, basically nobody goes out after dark. Nobody, you know, there's nobody in the reception area after 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up, like, going on a bike ride or something like that. And gets attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But they basically say, oh, nobody attacked you. Kind of like, it's like they're gaslighting her. It's Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens.
Okay.
Who plays like the head of the resort or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, you know, where she was like, ask him why we're here. And he said, your family was destined to be here. Who says that?
Right. Exactly.
So it definitely seemed like it was just kind of, you know, they brought her family there for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's something amiss going on in that resort.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're making her try to believe that she is going crazy.
Right. But she's really not going crazy because it's all really happening. Or maybe it's not. Who knows? I mean, with... They could really turn it around on you and have a twist.
They could. They could, absolutely.
But it looks like a bloody good time. I kind of want to watch this one.
It does. It does.
I know you won't, but I will.
Very much so. Our next trailer that we have is actually for an Apple TV, or Apple Plus, whatever you want to call it, movie. And that's for Fly Me to the Moon. With Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one looks actually pretty good.
It does. I wish it wasn't on Apple.
Right.
But hopefully I can find somebody with Apple TV that I could watch this.
Because
I do want to see this. It's Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum.
Woody Harrelson.
And it is about the moon landing faking it, basically.
Yeah. I mean, basically, as far as I could tell, it was Channing Tatum works at NASA with Woody Harrelson. And the public is not very enamored with NASA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hire basically a marketing director, who is Scarlett Johansson, to up the PR of NASA. And so, you know, she goes through and she hires actors to play the people that actually work at NASA, so because the NASA guys don't do interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in case something happens and they don't make it to the moon, they go through and try to film a fake moon landing.
Right.
And it doesn't go very well, it looked like, from the thing.
Right. My Neil Armstrong is such a diva.
That, I mean, like I said, honestly, it... So, apparently it is a rom-com, which I can see.
Okay, that makes sense.
But at the same time, like, the premise of it has me intrigued past the, you know, romance part of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially, they've been talking for years that the moon landing was fake.
Oh, yeah. So, and then at the end, I should have gotten Kubrick.
Exactly, yep. That got a good chuckle out of me.
Right, right. So, we do have that. Let me see if I know. So, apparently the director of this one did a couple other things. The main one that he's directed before is Love, Simon. But he was a developer for Superman and Lois, The Flash, Titans, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, Stargirl, Arrow, Constantine, The Legend Continues, The Tomorrow People, just the Green Lantern, Wrath of the Titans. So he's done a bit of writing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it should be...
So he's got some credits on him, huh?
He's got some credits.
Nice.
He's definitely got... a lot of producing credits.
Okay.
Like, I mean, all the ones that we listed before, but then, like, Doom Patrol and Gotham Knights, Riverdale, and just within, like, the last 2-3 years.
Jeez.
And there's a ton more on here, but produced Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, he directed this movie. It's got Channing Tatum, Scarlett Johansson. It's got Woody Harrelson. It looks... pretty darn good.
It does. It looks very good, honestly. It really does.
And it very much has that visual aesthetic of the 60s.
It sure does. I mean, especially like all the costumes. Like Scarlett Johansson looks like she was straight from the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which
are what we want to imagine the 60s were like.
Right, exactly.
So it should be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But that brings us to our last trailer of the week. And this trailer is for Pool Man with Chris Pine. I'm glad that he's just doing whatever.
Yeah. He has definitely earned his stars and stripes into being able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Like, this one just seems so weird. And it's got Danny DeVito in it, too.
Yeah, it does.
So it's got Danny DeVito. It's got Chris Pine as the main character. Annette Bening is in it. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in it. DeWanda Wise is in it. John Ortiz. It's just kind of like Chris Pine's character is one of those that I don't even know how to really describe it. Where, I mean, he's one of them that always goes to city council meetings, and like in the trailer, he's like, I know how to make the bus routes way more efficient. How to make them, you know, really great and efficient and everything. And then they're like, yeah, get out of here.
He reminds me of the dude from the Big Lebowski, just like less of a hippie.
Very much more into local politics.
Yes.
The dude, but way more into local politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dude was not into local politics.
He was definitely not.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, Danny DeVito, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Annette Bening, Chris Pine, DeWanda Wise, who was Kayla Watts, the pilot in Jurassic World Dominion.
Okay.
She's in there. And this movie just looks weird. Like, not even quirky, but weird.
Like it's going to be an adventure.
Yes. Like it's got almost the color palette of a Wes Anderson movie.
It does, yeah.
Which is why I was saying, you know, not quirky, but just weird. Because Wes Anderson has that color palette, has that style, but is quirky. Whereas this is just, what?
Right. Like, what just happened?
Yep. And so, to continue on, I guess. Oh, wait, no, the council member, what was...
You're talking about the director guy?
No. The councilman, Stephen Tobolowsky, which is the actor's name is Stephen Tobolowsky.
Okay, and I'll look at his...
Ned from Groundhog's Day. Stephen Tobolowsky.
He's not even showing up on my IMDb for this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I couldn't see him on IMDb. And so I just Googled the cast of The Pool Man, and there he was.
Interesting.
But yeah, he's like... Apparently he's a dirty councilman. And like, yeah, it's Ned from Groundhog Day.
Oh, Ned.
Which is why he looked so familiar. Because I'd seen him before.
You sure have.
And again. And again. And again. Ned. So, that is the last movie that we have for this week. Thank you, by the way, St. Michael Cinema, for sponsoring the podcast. We do really appreciate it, having the space available to us to record the podcast. So thank you very much for sponsoring the podcast. Do you have anything else you want to say about any of the trailers that we have for this week, Travis?
I've got nothing.
Got nothing. All right. Well, then, make sure you visit us at Facebook, right? Facebook.com/MoviesAreAThing. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at MoviesAreAThing. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that. And MoviesAreAThing. Come on by and say hi. I didn't really get through a lot of air that time, so. but that brings us to the movies that are premiering this week, the first of which is Civil War. This one is rated R, and it will be in theaters. Civil War is a journey across a dystopian future America following a team of military embedded journalists as they race against time to reach DC before rebel factions descend upon the White House. IMDb has this one at a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 93%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 79.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you.
It is A24, which is the company producing it. And they do fantastic. It's a stack cast. Kirsten Dunst.
Yep.
Has Nick Offerman.
Yep.
Gosh, who else? Why am I blanking?
Has Kirsten Dunst's husband, Jesse Plemons.
Oh, yeah, Jesse Plemons. I forget that they're together.
I think that's kind of like the big names that a lot of people would know. But, I mean, just in general, like, with those three and Alex Garland writing, directing, and A24... being the production company for it, like this is a movie that's under 2 hours, but I feel like that entire 2 hours you're going to be on the edge of your seat, like
most definitely
white knuckle with the armrests, just can't relax until the very end.
Yep.
If exactly. Then even because it's Alex Garland, you know.
Right. Oh yeah, his movies are very intense.
Very much so, either like. Right from the get-go, or just build.
Well, yeah.
And then it's the end, and then you're like, what happened? What happens next? Right. What's going on?
Right. Well, yeah. Ex Machina was an extremely slow build. And then Annihilation was kind of a slow build, but it kind of fluctuated throughout the movie, like there'd be sometimes where it would kind of go down a little bit and then it would kind of amp itself back up again.
Right, and then there's Dread.
Dread, fantastic. That movie,
that was a build.
Men, I don't remember that one all too well. I really didn't like that one all too much.
28 days later,
that's a build.
So yeah, basically This one looks fantastic. It mm-hmm. looks amazing. It's definitely on my list for this week.
And I would say to try and see it on the biggest screen possible.
Yes.
Because I feel like it really deserves it.
Very much so, yes. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that one is coming to theaters here. The next movie that we have is The Long Game. This one is PG-13, and it will be in theaters. In 1956, J.B. Pena and his wife moved to the small town of Del Rio, Texas, partly for a job as a school superintendent, but mostly to fulfill J.B.'s dream of joining the prestigious all-white Del Rio Country Club. So when J.B. is ejected on the basis of his skin color, he is devastated. But his world soon collides with a group of young Latino caddies who work at the country club, and J.B. is inspired by the handmade course the boys built in the country to teach themselves golf. With little experience and even fewer resources, J.B. convinces the boys to start their own high school golf team, starting them all on a journey where they learn that it takes more than just golf skills to make history. IMDb did not have a score for this one. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 73%, and Metacritic is also did not have a score for this one.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch a trailer for this one.
I mean, it looks good. The main guy is Jay Hernandez.
Okay.
Who, the movie that I know him most from is David Ayer's Suicide Squad. He was Diablo.
Okay.
But then Dennis Quaid is actually in this one as well.
Ooh, okay.
And then it's a Cheech Marin shows Ooh. Up at some point.
Nice.
I don't know if he's a mentor to JB or what,
mm-hmm.
or his dad. I don't know.
Okay.
I could not tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it very much seems like it is very much an underdog story.
Okay.
It is very much a drama based on history,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of thing. Just because the movie is out there and is very well regarded, Rudy-esque.
Okay.
And basically it seems like, you know, the entire community is against these boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their parents don't want them participating because they don't want them, you know, to be shunned by everybody, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, you know, they don't want them to be up against the racism and everything that they would be up against if they tried to join in on all this stuff.
Right.
You know, they want to protect their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, the kids want to get all this going and want to, you know, want to play golf.
Okay. Well, I do like a good underdog story, so I might have to check that one out. I'm not always the biggest fan of golf, but yeah. I can get past it.
I feel like with this one, golf is very much a background character. Okay. Like, it's there, and I mean, like, it's main part of the story. Like, it's the driving force of the story,
mm-hmm.
but the story is about the kids okay. And the team and the, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, them becoming, you know, I don't even know if they become champions or not, but, you know, showing that they should have, you know, a play on the field.
Sure. Okay.
Kind of thing.
Interesting. All right.
So we do have that one there.
Okay.
The next one that we have is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. 17-year-old Tanya Crandell can't wait to spend the summer living it up with her friends in Spain before heading to Howard University in the fall. But when her mom decides to head to a much-needed wellness retreat in Thailand, Tanya is forced to stay home with her three siblings instead. Following the unexpected death of their elderly babysitter, Tanya gets a job working for the confident and ambitious Rose. Juggling work, family, and a complicated romance, Tanya faces the responsibility of adulthood at the cost of her summer of freedom. IMDb Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic did not have a score for this one.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in my opinion, this remake is not needed. I'm a big fan of the original.
Yeah.
But I'm giving these guys credit because it almost seems like it's going to be a shot-by-shot remake because already the last name is the same as the original movie. And also Rose, that character is the same name. Okay. So, I have a little bit of high hopes right now. Mm-hmm. That's not saying much. because I don't think that this movie is needed right now, but I'm going to give it a shot because I love the original.
Mm. Well, I mean, like, if it is a shot for shot, it could go into Psycho territory.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Because we have the original, mm-hmm. and we have the Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gives the Vince Vaughn Psycho such a bad rap, and honestly, it's pretty good.
I mean, isn't it, like, literally a shot-for-shot remake? Very much
so, yeah. It's basically the same movie as Hitchcock. It's just in color.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with different actors and actresses, and also a different director, but...
What? Alfred Hitchcock didn't direct the color version one?
Unfortunately not.
The one that was made, like, 50 years later.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I never watched the original. This one,
Okay. Well, if you ever have the opportunity, you should watch the original. It's pretty good. It has Christina Applegate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that actually brings us to our next movie, which is also the last movie that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually a re-release.
Ooh, okay.
And this one is Shrek 2. This one is rated PG, and it will be coming back to theaters. After returning from their honeymoon and showing home movies to their friends, Shrek and Fiona learn that her parents have heard that she has married her true love and wish to invite him to their kingdom called Far, Far Away. The catch is, Fiona's parents are unaware of the curse that struck their daughter and have assumed she married Prince Charming, not a 700-pound ogre with horrible hygiene and a talking donkey pal. IMDb has this one at a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at an 89% certified fresh, and Metacritic is sitting at a 75.
Play the movie, yeah. Play.
First I was afraid. I was petrified.
Yep.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah?
I think. Yeah.
Play the movie. Yeah. Play. Oh, that DVD menu.
So good. That is a lost art that they don't have anymore, is a good DVD menu.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Blu-ray menus are...
They are interactive.
They are more interactive. They are a lot less in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, you know, you finish off a DVD or whatever, you're like... Say you're watching a movie on DVD,
mm-hmm.
and you fall asleep, and the movie kind of goes and finishes off, and it's quiet for, you know, 30 seconds, and it was a...
Yep.
Just saw the waveform on here, and just...
Yep.
But yeah, and it's like, oh, I'm awake, I'm awake,
yep.
I'm awake.
Yep.
Because the DVD menu is always, like, 5 times louder than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason.
I never understood why that is, but it is true.
Mm-hmm. Which actually kind of leads me to, you know, in movies on TV,
mm-hmm.
how, like, the movie itself is always really quiet, but the commercials are, like, blaringly loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know why that is?
So that you pay attention.
Because when they mix it, or when they mix the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have their loudest stuff, you know, very infrequently.
Okay.
Whereas commercials are, like, loudest at all times. So the loudest part of the movie, which is very, very small, versus the rest of it, which is way down,
mm-hmm.
is very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to the commercials, hits that same loudness as the loudest part of the movie.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right. I guess I never really thought about it that way, but okay, yeah, that makes sense. You a smart one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play. Every time. Every time. Like, if somebody just says, yeah, play the movie. Yeah, play.
Exactly.
And they look at me like, John, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
So when I met you, we bonded over the Shrek DVD menu.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when Mike and I met, we bonded over the Shrek menu as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I said, play the movie, and he's like, yeah, I'll play. And I was like, yes.
That's awesome. Oh, man. See, like, the original Shrek for me was one of those that I watched a lot of times.
Sure.
Like, I had the thing memorized. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure now if I were to watch it, I would be able to, like, say the lines along with the movie the entire time. Sure. I'd be that annoying guy.
Mm-hmm.
We can stay up late, swap our manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles. Just, man, I had some nasty gases eking out of my butt that day.
Yeah, right.
Cake. Everybody loves cake.
Yep.
Cakes are layers. But yeah, so I had a VHS copy of Shrek.
Okay.
And it was the VHS that was in the oversized VHS holder. And like, it was just the cardboard, you know, VHS sleeve, but it was the oversized one. And man, I thought that was the best thing in the world.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's like, hey, because he's an ogre.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big hat. It's funny. Yeah, call me Turd Ferguson.
Right. Oh, exactly.
But yeah. So yeah, with Shrek 2 coming out,
mm-hmm.
I did go and watch that in the theaters because I had watched Shrek so often and was just like, Shrek, got it. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Yeah. Somebody once told me this. But yeah, like that, and that one for Shrek 1, and then I Need a Hero and Shrek 2, which is just like, oh, mwah, mm-hmm. fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm kind of gushing over Shrek 2 here.
No, you're good. Shrek 2 is very, very good. I can remember seeing it on the big screen, and it was at another local theater, not this one, but it was our Buffalo theater.
Okay, okay.
That's the one I used to always go to before I worked at Plymouth. And that was when I first got my first, like, cup from a movie, and it had, like, the Shrek poster on it. The Shrek 2 poster on it.
Nice.
I think I still have it. I'll have to show you.
Very nice.
But...
Gingy,
yep.
Muffin Man, fire up the ovens.
Yep.
And that's the first time that we saw Boots.
In Boots.
In Boots. Coward and Fear from Boots. In Boots. I'm sorry. Okay. So that
is one of the rare forms where the sequel is better than the original.
Not if you read the reviews.
Really?
The reviews on Metacritic for mm-hmm. Shrek 2, oh, some of them were just mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't want to play the movie. No, don't play.
Oh, man.
So, we do have that. That is the last movie that we have. Travis.
Yes, sir.
All four movies this week?
Yeah. I do believe so.
Wow.
Let's see. What order, though?
Yes.
Civil War 1.
Okay.
Shrek 2.
Okay.
Because you have to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably Don't Tell Mama the Babysitter's Dead 3, and then The Long Game 4.
Gotcha, gotcha. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about any of these movies?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, fine then.
Gosh.
You know what you should do, Travis?
What's that?
You should visit us at Facebook or facebook.com/moviesarething. We also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that at moviesarething. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/moviesarething. If you want to help support the podcast, we do have that over there.
But it's not cool to like your own podcast.
I didn't say like, I just said visit.
Okay, that's fair.
But that being said, Travis,
yes, sir.
I do believe it is about that time. Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing. Be sure to tune in next week for more movies and tangents with us. All right.
Oh. I don't know what that was, but...
That was me clearing my throat and apparently shooting root beer, like, sugar and bubbliness up into my nose.
Oh, ouch.
That's what that was.
The pot has bubbled over.
a little bit. Because, you know, like when you're drinking pop, you kind of still have like that little bit of like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I cleared my throat, it just went right up into my nose. right through my sinuses.
Well, that'll wake you up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm. As he goes back for more. What a fiend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just needed his fix.
Right.
Well, snort it next time, God.
I was going to say, at least I didn't. You know, Shorty got low.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's... yeah, that is... Okay. I don't know what they mean by that title. See what I did there?
I mean, I've heard Christian Bale is pretty much a monster when he's on set anyway, so...
Right, right.
Especially during Terminator Salvation.
Oh, there was somebody that... there was a comment on Reddit.
Uh-huh.
It's like... all it said was, "It's alive! Oh, good for you!"
If that's not in the movie, I'm going to be disappointed.
That would be hilarious. Good for you. It's alive. It's alive. Oh, good for you. I cracked up so much when I read that.
Oh, I bet. That was so good.
But yeah, so... Oh. Yeah. I got nothing. Mm. So... was that John Ortiz? No. Okay, 1 second. Sorry. This takes forever. What do I know that guy from? God, that's gonna annoy me. Whatever.
Here, let me look. We're looking here.
Wow. All right. What do you think? Should I stop? I feel like I should stop.
I think so.
Okay, let's stop.